It's funny how you can read a story in the Bible and think you know it pretty well, and then read it again and see something you've never seen. Have you ever had something like that happen to you? You can read it 20 times, and then the 21st time, hear something so striking and new, it makes you wonder if you slept through the other times. Maybe it's because you started in the middle of the story instead of at the beginning. Or perhaps it's because someone else reads it aloud and pauses at a place where you normally wouldn't, and pow, it hits you. You grab the book and look at it, knowing that someone copied or read something wrong, but then you read it, and well, how do you do? Look at that. Only God knows how many times I've read the resurrection story. I would guess at least a dozen times. I've taught it, I've meditated on it, underlined it. But what I saw recently, I'd never seen before. Well, what was that? Well, before I tell you, let me recount the story. It's early dawn on Sunday morning, and the sky is dark. Those are, in fact, John's words. It was still dark, he writes in John 20, verse 21. It's a dark Sunday morning. In fact, in many ways, it had been dark since Friday, dark with Peter's denial, dark with the disciples' betrayal, dark with Pilate's cowardice, dark with Christ's anguish. The only ember of light is the small band of women standing at a distance from the cross, watching. Among them are two Marys, one the mother of James and Joseph, and the other is Mary Magdalene. Why are they there? Well, they're there to call his name, to be the final voices he hears before his death. They're there to prepare his body for burial. They're there to clean the blood from his beard, to close his eyes, to touch his face. They're the last to leave Calvary Friday afternoon as the sun sets, and the first to arrive at the grave early Sunday morning. So early on that Sunday morning, they leave their homes and walk out onto a tree-shadowed pass, and theirs is a somber task. The morning promises only one encounter, an encounter with a corpse. Remember, Mary and Mary don't know this is the very first Easter. They're not hoping the tomb will be vacant. They aren't probably even discussing what their response will be when they see Jesus. They have absolutely no idea that the grave has been vacated. There was a time when they dared to dream such dreams, but not now. It's too late for the incredible. The feet that walked on water have been pierced. The hands that healed lepers have been steeled. Noble aspirations have been spiked onto Friday's cross. Mary and Mary have come to place warm oils on a cold body and bid farewell to the one man who gave reason to their hopes. But it isn't hope that leads the women up the mountain to the tomb. It is duty. It is devotion. They expect nothing in return. What could Jesus give? What could a dead man offer? The two women are not climbing the mountain to receive, they're going to the tomb to give. Let me pause there. There is no motivation more noble. There are times when we too are called to love, expecting nothing in return. Times when we're called to give money to people who will never say thanks, to forgive those who don't forgive us, to come early and stay late when no one else notices. Service prompted by duty. This is one of the calls of discipleship. Mary and Mary knew a task had to be done. Jesus's body had to be prepared for burial. And Peter didn't offer to do it. Andrew didn't volunteer. The forgiven adulteress or healed lepers are nowhere to be seen. So the two Marys decide to do it. I wonder if halfway to the tomb, they sat down and reconsidered. What if they'd looked at each other and shrugged? What's the use? What if they'd given up? What if one had thrown up her arms in frustration and bemoaned, I'm tired of being the only one who cares. Let Andrew do something for a change. Let Nathaniel show some leadership. Now, whether or not they were tempted to, I'm glad they didn't quit. That would have been tragic. You see, we know something they didn't. We know the Father was watching. Mary and Mary thought they were alone, but they weren't. They thought their journey was unnoticed, but they were wrong. God knew. He was watching them walk up toward the tomb. He was measuring their steps. He was smiling at their hearts and thrilled at their devotion. And boy, did he have a surprise waiting for them. Matthew 28, we pick up the story. At that time, there was a strong earthquake. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven, went to the tomb, and rolled the stone away from the entrance. Then he sat on the stone. He was shining bright as lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The soldiers guarding the tomb shook with fear because of the angel, and they became like dead men. Matthew 28, 2 through 4. Well, here's what I noticed. It was really a question. Why did the angel move the stone? For whom did he roll away the rock? For Jesus? I guess that's what I always thought. I just assumed that the angel moved the stone so Jesus could come out of the tomb. But think about it. Did the stone have to be removed in order for Jesus to exit? I mean, later that evening, we read the story and find that Jesus walks through a locked door into a room filled with fearful disciples. He didn't need to have the door opened. He could walk right through it. And I doubt wood would be much different than stone to him. Did he have to have help? Was he not strong enough? Was the one who conquered death so weak he couldn't push away a rock? Hey, could somebody out there move this rock so I can get out? I don't think so. Nowhere did the gospel say that the angel moves the stone for Jesus. So I'm left wondering, for whom then was the stone moved? Well, a few verses later, listen to what the angel says to the two women. Come and see the place where his body was. The stone was moved, not for Jesus, but for the women. And later, the other disciples who would come to the garden tomb. The stone was moved not so Jesus could come out, but so the women and the other disciples could see in. I would love to see the look on their faces. When they looked in and saw the empty tomb, I think Mary looked at Mary and she was grinning, the same grin that she maybe had when the bread and fish kept coming out of the basket. The old passion flares. Suddenly, it's all right to dream again. The angel continues, go quickly and tell his followers, Jesus has risen from the dead. He's going into Galilee ahead of you, and you will see him there. Mary and Mary don't have to be told twice. They turn and start running to Jerusalem. The darkness is gone. The sun is up. The sun, S-O-N, is out. But Jesus isn't finished. One surprise still awaits them. Verses 9 and 10 tell us, suddenly Jesus met them and said, greetings. The women came up to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go and tell my followers to go on to Galilee and they will see me there. The God of surprises strikes again. It's as if he said I can't wait any longer. They came this far to see me. I'm going to drop in on them. God does that for the faithful. Just when the womb gets too old for babies, Sarai gets pregnant. Just when the failure seems too great for grace, David is pardoned. And just when the road is too dark for Mary and Mary, the angel arrives and the Savior resurrects. The stone gets rolled away and the two women will never be the same. What's the lesson? Three words. Don't give up. Is the trail dark? Don't sit. Is the road long? Don't stop. Is the night black? Don't quit. God is watching. For all you know, right at this moment, he may be telling an angel to shine a light or move a stone. The check may be in the mail. The apology may be in the making. The job offer might be on the desk. Don't quit. For if you do, you may miss the answer to your prayers. God still sends angels, and God still moves stones. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you that Christ is risen. That we come to this season of the year and we reflect upon this familiar story and realize that the details surprise us at times. Things we've overlooked jog our thinking. Are reminded that sometimes a stone gets moved. The way is made clear. And once again, you're the answer to our prayers. Thank you for this reminder. In Jesus' name, amen.